this podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
Well, good morning and welcome back. I don't know what time you're listening there, obviously. We post this at 1 a.m., but it's actually early in the morning here and raining like cats and dogs. Not really, of course. It's a saying we used to use if you hadn't heard it before. Some people have heard of it. Some people remember good old common sense sayings, but not so much anymore. Anyway, I said, you know, with the rain out there, I don't think it's a good time for my morning hike. Not that I'm adverse to a little rain, because I'm not. But on this particular day, I said, you know, I think it would be a good time to do the podcast. So here we are. Here we are. It's been a busy week here. I hope you've been paying attention at least a little bit to what I've been talking about. Today, I want to talk to you about defense and security, particularly your security here at home. But this week, I talked about the border chaos, the budget chaos, and the election chaos, and it's all very much tied together. We're being robbed blind, we're being deprived of our rights, our properties being taken, some cases directly in the case of Trump, but the inflation, the taking of debts in our names that we have little to no say in at this point is just completely, utterly, and morally wrong. Would you not agree? Would you not agree that it is morally unacceptable to lay debts on another person that they have no say in? Is that acceptable at all in any way, shape, or form? Well, the truth of the matter is, there actually is an answer for that, and sometimes it is morally acceptable on some level, I believe. For example, the taking of debts to produce infrastructure so that future generations can take advantage of that infrastructure. And so we borrow money, we take on debt to build an asset like an electric producing dam. And then what's supposed to happen is we take really good care of it because it's a matter of interest of everyone. We take really good care of it, and we get really good value out of it. We pass along that in the form of improved way of life for our society. That was something that America had to offer that I think has somehow gotten missed. It's kind of starting to suck to live here in some ways. You know what I'm saying? God bless America. You know I'm as America as red, white, and blue. But I don't like what's going on, do you? That's another story altogether. What happened to our vote? Listen, I want to talk today about security because we're not safe. And let me just check something here. I want to get into this, a couple highlights from this book I was talking about the other day. Okay, here's my notes. Talk about security. All right, no show notes today. I just want to make sure I don't have anything in there. I don't need any. I don't need any show notes. I know exactly what I want to tell you. The first thing I want to share with you is a little defensive security-driven philosophy, shall we say. Not any old philosophy, the philosophy. The Art of War by Sun Tzu, all right? Translated by Lionel Giles. I don't know who Lionel Giles is. But I want you to read into this, too. This is the warfighting ethos of the Asians, which is also partly Russian, by the way. People forget that. Listen to the tactics and the beliefs. And by the way, I neither agree nor disagree with these points. I'll share my perspective, but let me share a little bit of this with you. And I'm going to relate it back to your home security. This is the Art of War, but I'm talking about your security, and I'm going to tie it back together with you. The Art of War is of vital importance to the state. Your security of your property and family is of vital importance to you and your family. It's a matter of life and death, a road either to safety or ruin, hence a subject of inquiry which no account can be neglected. In other words, you've got to prepare for it. Same for your home security. The Art of War, and also with your home and property security, then is governed by five constant factors that must be taken into account. These are, 1, the moral law, 2, heaven, 3, earth, 4, the commander, 5, method and discipline. Listen to what I'm telling you. I know this might sound a little boring and a little philosophical, but I'm going to give you an important lesson. 1, the moral law. What was I talking about the other day? Somebody comes on my property without my permission. That's the moral law. You're here without my permission. What mode am I in to be nice to you? I don't owe you nothing. I'm going to protect my family and my property first. Ferociously. I'm not the one that showed up unannounced. I'm not saying I put a gun in anybody's face ever, by the way, because I don't. I don't do that, and I've talked about this, and that's a bad idea. But I don't walk up and could excuse me? Can I help you? What in the hell are you doing on my property before I stomp your guts out? You better have a damn good reason. Go. That's my moral belief. I'm not saying that you have to adopt mine. I don't expect anybody to, and I'm not recommending nothing. Think for yourself. That's my recommendation. But I'm telling you, you better think in advance before something happens. Have you firmly decided in your mind, if you wake up one night and there's somebody in your house, will you or will you not kill them? Most people can't bear it. They would wet their pants in fear. You better think it through, and you better be honest with yourself. And I mean it. I'm a big dude. I got a little experience. I've been knocked in the head a couple times. Most people don't want to do that. I don't either. I'm 53 years old, trust me. I said the other day, I'm more about peace, love, and distance. But the moral law, yes, it's important to war. I've talked about it for our country. What is a just war? Not what Putin did. That's not a just war. I'm not going down that path. And there's no justification for somebody to be on your property without your consent, certainly not in your house. You got little girls being swiped up off the front lawn, all kinds of heinous crap going on. And people are going to start to, excuse me, can I help you? I'm going to call the police. I'm going to blow your brains out and throw you over in the neighbor's yard and call them. All right, I went a little too far there, didn't I? I was saying that for illustrative purposes only. Really, I am a peaceful person. I mean that. And my point is, as the situation evolves, you have to evolve for the safety of your family. Two heaven, three earth, four the commander, five method and discipline. The moral law I've already explained. Heaven signifies night and day, cold and heat, times and seasons. The same doggone thing for the security of your house. What am I talking about? You don't think things are a little different in daytime and nighttime? They're a lot different. They're an awful lot different. Cold and heat, if it's cold outside versus hot outside. You know, the wind is open, for example. Times and seasons, all these things play a role in how your security needs to operate. What am I talking about specifically? I've said it over and over again. Lighting. It's like the first basic. You can get solar lighting, and I haven't had the best luck with solar lighting, to be up front with you. I got one more test I want to do with a light for the driveway. But the stuff hasn't lasted very well, really. One set we got has lasted, but by and large, not. But you can easily solve your lighting dilemmas at a very low cost today. There's no reason that you have a property of any kind, your home or otherwise, that you don't have properly lit. Earth comprises distances, great and small. Earth is the third factor. Same thing for your property. Distances, open ground, narrow passes, and the chances of life and death. Well, all this applies to your home security. What do I mean by that? Have you taken a good objective look? How does your property set back off the road? Are there blind spots? Could somebody easily drive a vehicle right into your living room? What are you talking about, Chris? I'm telling you, these are all things that you would do well to consider, at least on some level, at least understand where you fall in this. And I'm not saying to panic, freak out at all. Not at all. I'm just saying put a little basic security on your house. The commander, number four, stands for the virtues of wisdom, sincerity, benevolence, courage, and strictness. And right now, I want to speak to the head of your household. Very important. I don't live with you. I don't have any ties to your property. Do whatever you want. I don't care. But think about the people as a head of a household that you're responsible for, at least to some degree. And you didn't spend a couple bucks to put proper lighting in. And take some other basic measures, decent law. I mean, it's just basic stuff you could do. You don't have to go, DEFCON 4 to harden a property these days. Actually, really inexpensive. And the fifth factor, method and discipline, are understood by marshaling of army and its proper subdivisions, proper setup. And that's one that I don't know that so much matters, except I would say this. Relating back to the distance thing, I see many, many, many people that their whole entire home security relies on a pistol or a shotgun, and it's horrible. That's not the method and discipline that you want. And which one are you going with? You know, a big difference in which weapon you're going to use if you have multiple intruders or one, if it's light or it's dark, as I said earlier, or if somebody's on the other side of an object like a door especially. 12-gauge double aught, high brass, and slugs, I'm pretty sure will blow through like a 1-hour fire-rated steel door. Might take a couple shots, but you get through. Either way, you start blasting those rounds off, man, you're going to take sending some rounds downrange. But what are you dealing with? If you're dealing with intruders that have armor, body protection, do you know how to handle that? What are you going to do? Have you thought through this? Method and discipline. Boom, you wake up, there's somebody in the house. Suddenly you realize it's more than one. You're on the alert. You're prepared. You grab your shotgun in this case. You've got what? 5 rounds? Maybe you got minis? No, this is full size. You've got 5 rounds. You got a pistol grip shotgun. What are you going to have in your pistol? Depends on what you're carrying, right? However many rounds you have. Now you suddenly come to the conclusion that you can see that they're likely have body armor on. This is where the shotgun becomes better. What are you going to do? Blow their legs off, basically. Shoot the weapon out of their hand, blow their hand off. You're going to have to think viciously. You would think, and I'm, you know, most people don't want to think about it. It's happening already. I mean, you're hearing the stories now. It's just a matter of time before it grows further. Anyway, I don't want to be, I didn't mean to get too macabre. We'd be on my vocabulary. I forget the word. You know what I'm saying. I don't want to get too disgusting with all that. I'm just telling you, you know, think of your basic strategy. But I'm going to share a little bit more from this book real quick. Not too many minutes here. Hopefully I'm not boring you with this. I'm sorry. It's a little bit more, a little deeper than, say, you know, your average NPR show where everything is so completely polished. You know, if they hear my little raspy cough there. But it's raining here. It's February. I got a little congestion going from the dry heat. That's my story. Anyway, I'm sticking to it. Laying plans, waging war, strategy, tactical dispositions, energy, weak points and strong points, maneuvering, variations and tactics, the army on the march, movement, terrain, the 9 situations I'm not going to go into, attack by fire, the use of spies. So I wanted to make a couple points about all this. And I'll go in reverse here. The use of spies. So in terms of home security, there's a couple things you could do. One is cooperate with your neighbors is always a great idea. Here we get little to none, which is fine. We take care of ourselves. But in terms of spies and the importance of it, that there's a chapter of it in the book, The Art of War. Maybe it's something you ought to think about in your security plans is all I'm saying. Vis-a-vis security cameras that you can get for like $20 now. I know you say, they're not secure. It's better than nothing. Better than nothing. And you can lock those down reasonably tight. And we don't face any inside, unless we're not home, by the way. We have backups that we put on, really, to watch the dogs. I want to go back to something I said earlier in the basic concepts of distance and why I say to you, not just with choice of weapons. I mean, quite frankly, the firearm isn't even necessarily the first choice. This is another thing. I laid out for you the worst possible scenario. You've got multiple armed intruders with body armor. How often does that happen? Not a lot, all right? The reality is usually somebody drug addicted, desperate, whatever. You may get some of the semi-professional, but they're all on drugs all the same. I don't think many people are out doing that without usually being, you know, hopped up on something. And a lot of times they're not very formidable. So plenty of other weapons can be very effective as well. And a much, 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 much better choice for most people. I'm not telling you not to have a firearm. I think it is good, important to have one. I'm just telling you it's not the best weapon in every situation. I know there's, you know, some of you gun nuts out there. I'm a gun nut. I had my first gun when I was 12 and shooting since I was 10, 30-odd-6, man. Don't tell me. I'm just saying, you look at some people, I'm like, you probably shouldn't be waving that thing around. It's my opinion. You're going to hurt yourself. And that's a statistical fact, which is what I was getting at. But distance, you want to get a heads up. Once somebody's in the house, you got to, now you have to kill them. You literally, I mean, you may assess very, very quickly at the last second, but essentially, and you talk about moral implications. Me, somebody's in the house, I'm likely going to look to kill them. It's going to be I didn't invite them. Now, guys wearing a UPS uniform, I might do a double take, but I'd be like, I'd be a real dude. You better back the hell up now. I'm not playing with you, and I'm going to be coming at somebody. If nobody's home, I might try and run out the other door, quite frankly. You say, really? Yeah. Look, I'm about smart and winning, not killing and hurting in any situation. That's what I'm saying. You got to think this stuff through. Anyway, I went way too deep into that. I apologize. I never apologize. Some of you can't handle that kind of stuff. Let me give you something else real quick from this book. I want to tell you. Everything you need to know to overthrow the government if necessary. And I don't recommend that we do. I'm not into self-destruction. But I'm commenting on a comment made by Joe Biden. If you want to overthrow the government, you're going to need more than an AR-15. You're going to need an F-18. I beg to disagree. There's a whole chapter in here I want to share with you real quick. In terms of our security. This is in the Doctrine by Sun Tzu, The Art of War. The attack by fire, detailed in its own chapter. How devastating. I'm surprised I didn't think of it myself, the fires. Burn the food supply. Oh, it's already happening. Could it be the Chinese that are doing it? The wildfires in Canada that blew down here, Texas, California a couple years ago. Where's it all coming from? Now, I'd be a little careful with this. I was even thinking carefully if I wanted to even say it here on the podcast. Why is that? Well, because I don't like to drum up suspicion. I don't have any axe to grind with the Chinese people. As a matter of fact, as much as I thought about that, I said, well, you know, we were great trade partners. Like, what exactly is the problem here? And I don't think we have any problem with the Chinese people. I think it's the politics. I really do. And it's probably just as nasty over there. I'm not trying to, people. I see people cheering on Putin. You know, kind of like Tucker was over there, you know, selling up Russia. Look, I'm glad Russia's doing well. I can think of nothing better for the stability of the world than to have a stable Russia with modern conveniences. Good for the people there. Why should they suffer? What have they done wrong, this current generation of Russians? What's the problem? They're not all the same. And I have a theory very much on the The Russian people are so spread out, disconnected, and culturally different. You've got Muslims. I don't even know it all, but like over in the, I guess it would be the eastern part of Russia. I don't know how it flips on their hemisphere there, but on the Chinese side over there, I don't even know all those provinces. It's all just cold, barren land with like Asian-eyed, like Eskimos almost. I don't mean to say that to sound superficial, certainly not racist. I guess Far East, I don't even know what the religion is. I really don't even mean to sound disrespectful about it. I don't know anything about it, but I know that it's very diverse and very spread out. How do you even communicate to these people? Are they voting? Do they have a say? Does it even matter, really? Hard to say, really. Many of the big picture stuff, right? But the bottom line is, I don't trust Putin at all. And I judge it by his actions. Just the difference is that they may be less corrupt at this point than we are. He may be less corrupt than Biden. He may stand on better principles than Biden at this point. And certainly as it relates to the safety of his country, kind of seems to be doing a better job. I guess you could argue that. So, what do you mean? He started a war right on his border. Being attacked by the United States. Look at what we were doing in Ukraine. Tell me we didn't initiate that. We had a whole spy network. We were arming the Ukrainians to the teeth, buying off politicians and influence everywhere. And if that wasn't enough, a vast network of biological agent testing factories that they had the audacity to say that was for agricultural purposes. If you don't know, what's the name? I'm going to forget now. The doggone it. It's not nerve agent. Anyway, it's naturally occurring biological agent. And it appears mainly in cattle, farm animals, and they need to be treated for it as well. But that's what they were claiming. But, you know, meanwhile, they had – there's long stories on this and much of it documented through the open records. They couldn't conceal everything. The bottom line is it would be like Mexico having a contract to make biological weapons for China in San Juan, you know, or Tijuana. And putting Chinese artillery there, wow. Just put that in perspective a second in terms of – this is what the United States does. We go broker these deals. We go buy influence with our hype overvalued fiat money, and we go buy a port and a place to put our military gear, and then we tell them that they need our protection or we force it on them. It's like the mafia. The United States has become like the mafioso. Anyway, I didn't want to get down that path. I didn't even want to get political today. I guess it just happens. What are you going to do? We're not safe. If the foreign threats aren't enough, you've got this immigration deal that, in my opinion, is the greatest security threat we have to our persons right now. And, you know, I've talked about, what are you going to do when you have gangs already happening, robbing homes, and people get stuck in the middle of it, that they didn't know somebody was home, or somebody gets caught off guard? It'd be heinous. They're going to be all torqued up on drugs. You wonder, how does somebody do this? How do they break in and do something so ruthless? Drugs! They're hallucinating every time. I believe it's the same even in combat, largely. I was having an interesting conversation about this. Just to switch gears 1 second. I interviewed James Bradley, the author of Flags of Our Heroes. He wrote the book. It later became a movie. Steven Spielberg, Clint Eastwood. And book is relatively famous. But we were talking about, you know, why veterans don't talk. And he was more on the angle of that it was because of what they had seen, the carnage. And I said, well, I see this PTSD, and it goes way beyond that. He said, well, the things that they did, we talked about, the heinous things that they, you know, respond to. I don't think so. You know what I think the big difference in the combat that I was involved in? The use of drugs was non-existent, virtually non-existent. Might have been hopped up on caffeine at times, but not even that, really. Nothing. I hear the stories even today of, you know, legal enhancements, Monster, you know, I have a taste for. Yeah, it peps me up, and it's not a lot of caffeine. I don't want to get into it, but yes, sometimes I like to have that little kick. Such as if I'm working later, I got to be alert for a show or a speaking event or something like that. Yeah, it works really well. You get into combat, you say, you know, drop a Monster or 10, whatever I got to do because I'm going to be awake for 4 days. And I don't even know what they were taking. There was something that they were taking. And then there was the use of drugs. SEAL Team 6, I think, had a problem. Some of these operator units, yeah, a little cocaine. You run a little faster, run a little longer, and your heart blows out. But the bigger problem is, guys get too deep, they turns into a psychosis, and they start doing really nutty things. And a human being becomes a different person, especially in a herd environment. And it becomes, but anyway, you know, what are you going to do when you've got desperate migrants, 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, how long before they organize in sizes large enough to accomplish whatever they want? You want to overtake a car dealer? How many people is it going to take? Do an assessment. You got a couple armed guys in there with carry permits. Retired security guy up front, unarmed. All right, we'll send 12 guys in with guns. Take them hostage. Tie them up. Put them in the back room. We'll leave with the vehicles. 2 hours by the time this thing unfolds, the police figure out what's going on and dispatch anybody, we'll be over 100 miles away. The fleet of new cars. Guys, what I just described to you happened in Michigan last week or something like that. I'm not making this up. Not making it up. It's only a matter of time before this lawlessness turns into carnage. And people are going to have to know how to defend themselves. You're going to need to know how to have proper security. It is a massive, massive threat, this border issue. But there's more than that. You got the international, you got the border migrant issue, you got our own domestic issues. But as Americans, law-abiding Americans, we're under threat from our own government at this point. And without getting any conspiracy theory else, let's just take the taxes. Look at the taxes that we pay, like the highest of any, not really, there's European nations that are higher, but we pay significant taxes, over half of all of our money. But that's not, that would be one thing. We vote, we pay, and I guess it's done, and that's democracy, democratic republic, okay? But the heinous thing is that the debts, and they're going to pile us. Well, someday it's going to come due. And they say, well, it's never going to get paid back. Has anybody told the debtors this? Has anybody explained this to the people the money's owed to? And who even is that at this point? It's nobody. It's not what's going to happen. There's nothing to pay back. They printed it out of thin air. And we're paying interest to a bunch of bankers who don't do anything but make paper. Fascinating, really. What's going to happen is you're going to wake up one day and nobody's going to accept the dollars is what's going to happen. You watch. I believe that it's likely we're going to see it in my lifetime. I really do. I interviewed a guy, John Nance, a couple years ago on this show. You might remember it. He's the author of a book, Rediscovering Republicanism. I said yesterday there needed to be a revolution. Some people, and I said, does not need to be violent, and I don't advocate for violent revolution. I do not. Maybe very, very limited circumstances. You better go read Art of War before you engage in that kind of thing or even suggest it to know what you're talking about. But it's purely destructive, and I don't advocate for that. I'm a believer in Gandhi. My mother took me to see Gandhi at a young age. I'm so glad I did. It's very impressionable. You create peace through peace. You don't generally create peace through war. It's a misnomer, a fallacy. Gandhi exemplified that. But the revolution could very well be a tax revolution. Every once in a while, it kind of rears its head where people bring up this idea of a popular tax revolution. I would say the government would come in and squash it in a nanosecond. Come in and squash it. But I believe it's going to be. Anyway, John Knotts believes that when Social Security goes defunct, that the young generation will then revolt, realizing that 15% of their pay is being taken into a failed system that they're going to get nothing out of. It may be true. I want to leave you with this because it'll be my last podcast for the week. When I started the Project Chaos radio show, I said to you that I did not want it to impact the show. However, I did cut back to a limited 30 minutes, which I'm glad I did. I think it's been better all around. I'm going to stick with that. I had intended to go 5 days a week, and I may do fifth podcasts here and there, but to be upfront with you, I have so much going on. It's all very important to me, and I think we can do what we need to do here in 4 days a week. So we're going to go with a four-day-a-week schedule for a little while. But I want to just come back to something a second. I talked about the border chaos, okay? What do we do? What do we do? Simple solution, immediately enact a law. $10,000 per day per illegal immigrant for anybody who aids or employs illegal immigrants except for the purpose of repatriating them. And as such, they must register to do so first. I'm not even sure I would allow that. You immediately enact a fine for anybody employing illegal immigrants, the problem would go away. Start fining New York State, federal government. We're going to enact fines. We're going to hold up all federal funding back to New York if you're going to keep accepting these immigrants. The budget chaos. Immediately passed a constitutional amendment, repealing the income tax amendment and replacing it with an income tax amendment that states that no tax shall be levied on any income over the amount of 10% of that income. You'd have to define all that. Right now, the income tax amendment is unlimited. And I'm telling you, they're ripping us off. One day, they're like, we need everything. You know, go look through history. It just happened in Greece not too long ago. They took all the money out of their bank accounts. They confiscated the gold in this country. Don't think they won't confiscate your dollars and whatever it takes. The budget can easily be fixed. Force an amendment requiring the federal government that the budget must be balanced, except for very limited carve-outs. That would stop the problem. Limit the income tax to 10% and fire as many federal employees and cut as many federal programs as necessary to make it happen. Period. Our future, if we're going to survive at all, it needs it. But you could easily fix the problem. The border with a massive fine per day per immigrant for anybody employing, the budget with a simple constitutional amendment, and the election system with replacing it with a very, very simple system. And I'll leave you with this on You're Not Safe. Listen, How can you possibly enjoy any level of freedom? Thomas Paine said it in Common Sense. I wrote the book in modern English. You can check it out at ChristopherScottShow.com. But what did he say? That the basic role of government is security. That without security, what is freedom? It is nothing. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything when you don't feel safe. You can't possibly be free. God willing, I'll be back on Monday. We got a great week lined up. I sure hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.